Good afternoon, ladies. It is really a joy to be here with you and to share my testimony and to share with you about prayer. Prayer is so dear to me. I've been a part of the prayer group at Dallas Christian for about actually 16 years because when my kids started at Dallas Christian, they were small, they were babies, and I started prayer then with my good friend Diane Packard. And actually, Diane and Packard is the one who really, really taught me how to pray. She is not here today, but we spoke last night, and she could not come, but I know she's praying for me. What I want you to know is that I am not my own. I've been changed for God's glory. I had to learn that I am not my own, that I have been changed for God's glory. I want you to go ahead, and I'm going to give you a little time to size me up. And the reason I want you to go ahead and size me up, because I want you to be able to meditate, and I want you to really get into what I'm about to say. I can't talk to you about something that I don't know, so I'm going to talk to you about something that I do know. I am here to turn your volumes up on prayer. I want your volume turned up. I want your prayer volume turned up. That is why I am here. But before I go into that, I want to tell you a little bit about me so that you can know where I'm coming from. I am number 11 of 16 children. And I am honored to have one of my sisters here today, Janice. I had just texted her before I walked in, and I said, pray for me, I'm about to speak. And she walked in the door, and that meant so much to me. So I'm number 11 of 16 children, all by the same mom and dad, no twins. That's usually the question I get. I hope somebody is timing me. I'm going to try to make sure I stop on time. My dad died, and my mom died 9 months later of pancreatic cancer. Last year in August, I lost my sister Barbara, or our sister Barbara. I'm gonna be good. It's okay. To breast cancer, and in December of the same year, I lost another sister, Mary, to a massive heart attack. You can only, thank you, Jesus. You can only imagine how life was with that many children. Yes, we had a lot of fun during the holidays. That's what most people ask us. I bet y'all have a lot of fun during the holidays. We did. But let me just be real with you so that you can really know me. I was brought up in a very abusive home. My dad was a very violent man. I can remember so many times the police had to come to our home. However, I can remember the many Bible studies that my dad would host in our house with so many people. We had this long table, and I remember going from the kitchen, and he'd be in the dining room, and he'd have this long table of people around the table who he would minister to. I bet you may be just a little confused. I was 14 years old when I had to leave home. From there, I lived with my sisters who raised me. And then I began to raise my younger siblings. So basically, we raised each other, and we were close. We struggled together. Could you imagine what it was like when our dad died after having to leave home so early without having a mother around so young? And then she dies 9 months later. After my mom died, after our dad died, I know for me, after my dad died, I thought, oh, I get to have her. I get to spend some time because he would take her away from us. We really couldn't have time with her. So after he died, I thought, oh, wow, we get to spend some time
with our mom. And actually, during that time, we were had schedules. It was so many of us who wanted to see her and be around her. My brother said, well, your time is going to be on Thursday. You can have mom for this. But we found out that she had pancreatic cancer. So she dies 9 months later after having my dad, after my dad died. So we only had her for 9 months. 16 kids to endure our mother without the control of our dad, keeping her away from us. People say to me, when I meet with people and I pray with people and I talk with people and I get, you know, not that I'm anybody, but I share with a lot of people, and people come to me with their problems, and, you know, the only thing I can take them to is God, because that's all I have. And so after sharing with them, they always say to me, Rebe, you've helped me so much. You know, you're just amazing. You've helped me so much. But I walk away thinking, what did I do? You know, what did I do? What did I have to give you? Or, you know, how did I help you? Or why, what do you see in me that you think that I can help you? I even wonder, do I have something on my back that say help me? You know, I would wonder that. And I would think when they would walk away, I had one of the fathers came to me a year ago, and he was hurting. He was going through a very difficult time in his life. And he came to prayer a year ago. And just last week, his mom sent me a message through Facebook, and she said, I didn't know who she was. She said, Rebe, my name is, and I want to thank you for what you did for my son. She said, you helped him, and you have gotten him to a place that I never thought he would be. She said, I've never met you, but I hope one day I get to meet you. I thought, what did I do? Well, I've been praying about that in the last few days. I told Holly, thank you for asking me to speak, because when Holly asked me to speak, I realized this has opened up some doors, and this has opened up some things that I never really even got. Well, now I get it. Now I get what I have. I remember, I'm going to say that again so I can keep it together. I remember when I was 5 years old, and I remember kneeling down on my knees over the toilet. The top was down. And I remember saying, God, if you bring me through, I will be faithful to you the rest of my life. I remember that. I said, if you bring me through this, I had a red shirt on. That's how well I remember. I said, I will be faithful to you the rest of my life. When God showed me that this week, he was showing me, Rebe, that's what that's about. See, I chose you for something. You were looking at everything that you went through, and you were looking at how awful it was, but I was preparing you for all of this, and you can't even understand it. You don't know where your knowledge comes from. It comes through your pain. Your knowledge comes from when you were going through it, you stayed in your word, because I do remember Mama saying, Rebe, you got to stay in the word every day. Mom would tell us, read your Bible, pray every day. And it was something that became part of us. I was afraid not to read it. So I would read my Bible every day up until now. And I wonder, how can I tell anybody about how to get over? It was this. And it was that little girl at age 5. Ladies, I believe that there is a breakthrough for you in this room. I believe there's a breakthrough with your name on it. I do believe that. I believe that there is a healing with your name on it. Some of you are in this room, I don't know what you're going through, but God knows. And I've been in prayer for you that there is something that I can say that will touch you. If I don't reach all of you, if I reach one, I'm good. What I want to do today is break you down, because I'm going to teach you how to pray, the armor that you have to have in order to believe that God is going to answer your prayer. Let's pray. Dear God, God, as I bow down to you, Father, I know that you are here because I feel you. I know that you are here, Father, because I am in your presence, Father. And I long to be in your presence, Father. I enjoy being in your presence because in your presence I find joy. God, in your presence I find peace. God, in your presence I find comfort, Father. God, I find a peace that I can't even understand. That's why I like to come to you in prayer, because you give me the peace that I know that everything is going to work out. Father, there's no other place that I'd rather be than in your presence, Father. There's no other place I'd rather be. God, fill me up. Fill me with your word today so that I can share it in a way that every sister in here will understand it. Fill my cup, God. I pray that it will overflow, Father, so that cancer will respond. I pray that we will come to you, Father, and we will fill our cups with your word so that cancer will respond, Father, so that anxiety will respond, so that depression will respond, so that divorce will respond, so that sexual immorality will respond, Father. We pray, God, that racism will respond, that our love for our first responders will respond. We pray for their safety, Father. We pray for loneliness. We pray that we will continue to call you out, Father, and believe in you so that loneliness will respond, Father, that rejection will respond, that fear will respond. Please protect us from the sting of rejection. Father, protect us from the sting of fear, loneliness, and death that sometimes breaks us in ways that it seems like we can't keep going. Father, keep us, Father. We pray that we just keep staying in your word, Father, and our cup will overflow so rape will respond, Father, so the lack of confidence will respond. Father, we just pray that these things will respond, that we will not stop coming to you and pleading with you, Father, until these things respond to you, Father. Lord, we love you. We know that you are bigger than all these things. And Father, I know that I've touched on some things that have touched each one of us, that has had something to do and had a part of each one of our lives today. Father, help us to stay in your word and allow your word to overflow within us so that these things will respond. We love you so much, Father, and we thank you for loving us. And I pray you will move me out the way so that I can be your vessel today, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. I'm going to tell you about what I do to help me in my prayer life. I have to constantly remind myself of the serenity prayer. And I honestly didn't really get the serenity prayer. I got the serenity prayer when I was in counseling through all of that. But now I understand the serenity prayer because now I have put things together. The serenity prayer says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Let's say that again. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. What this means to me is that there are going to be some things in your life that you just can't change. I'm sorry. I told my husband this morning, I said, Ron, I said, why would I speak at a time of my life where I'm going through some things? He said, this is the time for you. So you pray with me. There are going to be some times in your life that things are going to happen that you can't change. It's happened, and you can't change it. So you have to learn, how do I accept these things? How do I deal with them? There's some things that's going to happen that you have no control over, that you just got to accept them. And I'm saying the reason why that's important, because when you start your prayer life, as you develop your prayer life, you can struggle so much that you can't believe what you put in here because it's just going to seem so bad. But you've got to get to a point where you realize there are some things in life that's going to happen that you can't change. So God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, but courage to change the things that I can. You can change the way you look at it. You can change that. You can't change what has happened, but you can change the way you look at it. And wisdom to know the difference. Wisdom to me means, Rebe, you can't change it, but you can change how you look at it. So if you can understand the difference in the two, you'll realize that you've got power through your wisdom, because you have moved on knowing that I'm going to change my mindset and God is going to get me through this. My God can, this is a God can, and basically if you look at your paper that I gave you, this is, it's just simple. It's just a Pringles can. And this thing has been such a blessing to me. It's a Pringles can, and I just got a Pringles can and got some chalk paper, and I wrote God can. And you just put a little slit in here, okay? This can has saved me in so many ways. Now, this jar here, this really, these are all my prayers, okay? And I had it in a can. I had my prayers in a can, but I always give my can away. So I end up just finding a jar at the house. And so I just grabbed my jar. And so one day my son came home from school and he said, Mom, I bought you something. And I said, what, Ryan? He said, Mom, you always give that can away. So I just bought you a jar. So here's my jar, but I just need to put it back in my can. But these are my prayer requests. These are my prayers and prayers for people and all the prayers that I make. And I actually have two. I just brought one. And so what you're going to need is you're going to need the Word of God, and you're going to need your God can. And you're going to need some stickies. I have some stickies. I forgot to take those out. And then you're going to need some tissue paper. I always need that, as you could tell. How does your God can work? The way your God can work is that you must be in agreement that the only prayers you can put in the God can are the ones that you know without a doubt that God will answer. Now, this does not say God's can. It means God. It says God can. Not God's can. It says God can. If you don't think God is going to answer, don't put it in here. You only can put what you know he will answer. If you doubt it, if you're just not sure, you don't need to put in here. You just don't need to put it in here. Take it out if you're going to keep, if you can't put it in there and leave it, just take it out. This can is so powerful. I remember my husband in 2014, I think it was 2014, I was diagnosed with cancer. And the surgery went well. And then all of a sudden, he got hiccups extremely bad, where he couldn't stop hiccuping. He couldn't breathe if he hiccuped. And when he would hiccup, he would lose everything, and he couldn't breathe. It would go on all day. And we called the doctor. He couldn't figure out what it was. The hiccups would not stop. And he got so bad that I finally took him to the emergency room, and by that time, he had almost passed away. I did not realize how bad or how sick he was. His kidneys started shutting down. Everything started happening. And I remember my sister Janice calling me, "Rebe, is everything all right?" And I said, "No." And I looked up. There she was. I had prayed and pleaded with God to stop those hiccups. I begged him. I said, "God, please stop these hiccups." His doctor came in one day. He said, "Miss Woods and Mr. Woods, I don't know what's wrong with you." He said, I've been with my colleagues, and we've sat at the table, and we cannot figure out why your hiccups will not stop. He said, "So I don't know what else to do." That was on a Saturday. I went home, and he told me, Ron said, "Go home, Rebe, and I want you to go home, and I want you to just get some rest and go to church that morning." I went home, and that night, and I was laying in the bed, and I said, "I have not put this in my can. I have not put it in my can." So I just grabbed a piece of paper, and I got that paper, and I said, "God, heal him. I said, please stop his hiccups. Don't let him ever hiccup again." I did. I said, "God, just stop his hiccups now. Please stop his hiccups today. Please, God." And I believe in that can, you have to be detailed. I went to church that next morning. We started at 8 o'clock. I get to church, sit down. It's about 8:05, and I get a text message, and it's from Ron. He says, "Rebe, come pick me up. They're releasing me. My hiccups have stopped." I just wanted to shout. I just wanted to say, "What were you doing, Rebe? This can is so that you can release it to God. When you ask him, the can is so you can say, 'Okay, God, I can't do it in. I'm trying to do this in and of myself, and I cannot do it. So I'm going to just put it in here and let you do what you do best.'" When I write what I'm struggling with or what I need help with, I put it in this can, and I leave it there. And it not only does putting it in the can releases all the stress that I have just trying to figure it out. This can, it's almost like I just give it to God. I mean, it's almost like I just give it in his hand. That's just really how it's been such a blessing for me. So I encourage you to make your own can. You have to release it to God when you put it in there. And people ask me, "Rebe, how do you know that God answered your prayer?" One of the things you have to have before you even go in prayer is you've got to have time in God's word, ladies. I don't think we get it. We can pray all day in and out, but if we're not in this, we just don't get it. If we're not in the word of God, you're going to keep struggling. You have to spend time in this daily. Do you hear me? If you miss it, okay. But you need to get back in there, because you could be talking to God through prayer, but you're not allowing God to talk back to you through this. This is where you know when you're in this, this is where you get the answers. This is where your answers are going to be. See, when you're in his word, you know what he's telling you to do. You know, you see the Holy Spirit, this is how the Holy Spirit works, y'all. You guys know a puppet, you've seen a puppet, right? If you don't put your hand in it, what does the puppet do? It just lays there, right? It has no nothing. It just lays there. Well, through baptism, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. We got it. When we're baptized, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. But until we tap into this, we are just laying just like the puppet. We have no energy. We have no peace. We have no confidence. We're confused. This is the hand that goes into the puppet. When the hand goes in the puppet does exactly what the hand does. It moves around just whatever that hand does. That's what if you put your fingers in the hand of the puppet, the hands move. The head, everything moves. That is what the Word of God does for us. If you're not in this, you're missing it, ladies. I can't stress it enough. If you're not in this, you are missing this. This is where all of God's answers are. There's a Bible app. I know you guys have seen the Bible app. You know, you may say, well, Reba, you know what? I just don't have time. Well, you're going to have to make some time. Or you're going to keep struggling. That Bible app is wonderful because you can actually push the button and the Bible will read to you. You can find the scriptures. Sometimes I just push a button. I'm like, God, whatever I need to hear today, I'm just going to push this scripture and that's where I need to be. So you can have the Bible app and click it and read a chapter. Let him read to you while you're putting your makeup on, while you're getting dressed. There's no reason why you cannot spend time with God. And if you don't, you're not going to get the answers you need. And that's why people say, Reba, how do you know that God gave you an answer? He speaks to you through his word. And his word allows you to trust him. On your prayer, when you write out your prayers, you need to put the date and time. When you write it out, put the date and time. Because when you open up that can, when I'm sitting on the can, I'll have my can and I'm sitting in my recliner and my daughter is sitting there and I'll open that can up and I'll be reading my prayer requests. And it's actually the can. Right? And I'll read my prayer requests. Some of these are kind of private. I hope I don't leave this. I'm telling you, there's some deep stuff in this jar. So if anybody finds it, please give it back. And so, no, for real. And so I'll be reading my prayer request, and I'll see something that I prayed for my daughter, Rachel. And I give her all of them. And she's sitting there. And I know one time we were doing it, she was sitting there. I gave her those prayers. I prayed for her. And she was like, Mama, God answered. I'm doing better with this. You were praying for it. I said, Rachel, look at the time and look at the day. She said, Mom, that was just recently. Sometimes it's been a while. See, sometimes God answers quickly. Sometimes he takes a while. You need to review your prayers. And when you review your prayers, that is where you will see how God answers. And also, it will build your faith in God. So make sure that you're writing down the time of your prayers. The other thing you're going to need is the full armor of God. Guys, that's what I was talking about as far as the Word of God. The breastplate of righteousness. Therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness combined with our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just the fact that we live unrighteously, we create an environment where evil will dwell in our lives. Unrighteousness is the enemy's invitation. Guys, we have to realize that we are righteous through Christ Jesus. That's where the enemy trips us up. He trips us up because we don't think that we are not, we don't even realize who we are. We are righteous through Christ Jesus. We have benefits. You are righteous. And when you realize that, you realize that you have power through Christ Jesus, that you can go before him and you will know that he will answer your prayer. The breastplate of righteousness is what protects us. You have to have the full armor of God in order to believe that God is going to answer your prayers. You know, when you watch a football game, even if that player does not play, he still has to have his uniform on. Even if you're not out there in the game, you still have to have your uniform on. You have to have on the full armor of God. Truth, one of the full armors is the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Truth supports God's standards. The enemy's goal is to derail the train of your behavior. He tempts you toward unrighteousness living. If you are praying against the enemy, living ineffectively toward God, you are setting yourself up for failure. Guys, that's important. We can't play with God. You have to go to God, holy, righteous. Guys, none of us are perfect. Lord knows I struggle every day. And I think that is why when people say, Reba, you've helped me, I'm thinking, I'm just as human as you are. I struggle every day with life. But he said, Reba, you're still righteous. I made you righteous. When I died and I rose, I made you righteous. When my blood was shed for you and you were baptized and I cleansed you, he made me righteous. We have to also have peace. It says, feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. Not having peace is like standing up without feet. Now you just imagine your feet are gone. Try to stand up. What's going to happen? You're going to fall. That's what it is not to have peace. It's like you can't even get it right. You keep trying to stand up, and then you just keep on falling. That's why I ask people when they talk to me, Rebe, can you help me? First, I try to figure out who am I? Then I say to them, I can't help you until you tap into this. I need you. Do you understand where I'm going to take you? Because if you don't want to go there, I can't help you. That is where we find peace. And that is where we are able, when we're in God's word, it is what helps us to stand firm. The shield of faith, a shield protects you so that you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, such as doubt and fear. The helmet of salvation protects your mind from the evil thoughts of the enemy so that you will not feel defeated. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It keeps you on track. God reminds you there that his promises are true and that he will bless you and give you the things that you need. And then you are able to rest in God's peace and be still. Trust God's will for your life and his answers to your prayers. Rest is completely relying on God's power to accomplish the humanly impossible. You know, when you go through something, you don't know how you're going to get through it. Peace is when you rely on God to get you through it. Something that looks so impossible. I've been there in my life where things have shaken me so bad, I just don't know if I can get through it. But the God that I serve, he has power, and he has given me power. He said, for I didn't give you a spirit of fear, Reba. What you afraid of? When you are afraid, that did not come from me. When you are afraid, if you're going to make it, that didn't come from me. He said, I gave you power. I gave you a sound mind. That is what God has given us. So when we are afraid, that did not come from God. God will work it out. It doesn't matter your condition. It doesn't matter what it looks like. He will work it out. Daniel 3:17-18. It's a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God worked it out while they were still in the furnace. He was there with them. A breakthrough happened. Do you guys remember the story of Shadrach? I love that story. The reason I love that story is that they said, even if you don't, if God doesn't save us, we're going to still serve him. No matter what happens, you can throw us in this furnace, but God is still going to save us. Ladies, have you gone through something in your life or are you going through something in your life and it just seems like the fire has just been turned up really high. Remember, he just turned it up even more when they were the king. They just turned it up even more. Sometimes the fire in our lives are going to just be turned up higher. Have you ever been in a situation where it just seemed like it's just hot and it just doesn't seem to get better? But see, what they said was, even if God does not deliver me, we will still serve him. I remember something tragic happening in my life. And I pulled over. And I called my good friend Diane. And I said, Diane, I shared it with her. Ladies, she prayed. I think she prayed for 2 hours. That seemed like 1 minute. She prayed over me like, oh, get out. She prayed every word that needed to be spoken. She called it out, and she just kept going. It just kept going, rolling over and over. And as I was thinking about what I was going through, it just got easier because she just prayed God's love and his life over me. Sometimes, ladies, when you're going through something, you need to call that person who's just going to pray over you. Who's going to just call it out and ain't going to hold it back? Who's going to just say it? Because I knew that she believed in the power of prayer. She prayed for me. You know, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, remember when they looked in the furnace, they said, now, I thought it was just three of them. But they said, now, one of them must be the Son of God. See, God will get in the furnace with you, won't he, Janice? He'll get right in there with you. You ain't by yourself. He got right in there with them. And do you know when they came out, it says that their clothes weren't even singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. See, when I come out of this, I'm not going to smell like smoke. Now, right now, I'm struggling a little bit, but I'm getting there. But as I continue to go before my Father, I know when I come through this, I am not going to smell like smoke. We shouldn't look like what we're going through. We shouldn't look like what we are going through. Last Saturday, I called my friend, Joy Wilson. I called her. Then she called me back, and I said, Joy, what's wrong? And she said, Reba, I'm just having a hard time. I said, what's going on? She said, I just left a funeral. We did a funeral of a child that had died in a car wreck. And she said, Reba, the sad part of it, she said, he was the same age as our children, as Ryan and Andrew. And she said, the sad part of it, Reba, is that they had just lost a daughter about 4 years ago to a car accident. She said, Rebe, what do you say? She said, what do you say? Sometimes we have to say, God, if you provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice. Sometimes you have to be the sacrifice. Can you say that with me? God, if you provide the fire, say it with me. God, if you provide the fire, I will provide the sacrifice. Sometimes we have to be the sacrifice. I said to Joy, sometimes God's answer is that we must become the sacrifice. Can you be a testimony and open yourself up? She said, Rebe, explain this to me. Can you explain it to me? Because I just really don't get it. I said, Joy, this is all I can say to you. I said, God created us. And he knows each one of us. He knows what we're made of. And he will choose who he decides to be used for his glory. He knows how much you can take, even though it hurts. He knows how much you can take. He knows you. even though it seems unfair. Because sometimes the pain of this life, the things that happen in our lives, they just don't seem right, do they, Janice? They don't seem fair. They don't seem right. How are you going to lose one child, then you lose another? How we got 9 months left with Mama, and we lost 50? You know, how? It just doesn't seem right that this happened to my child or this happened to me. It just don't seem fair. God says, I will only use those who will use it for my glory. He may choose you. Are you willing to be that sacrifice? Are you willing to be that sacrifice? I remember when I was going through what I was going through. I was in my house. Everybody was gone. And I was in my kitchen. And I cried out to God. And I pleaded. And I was just screaming. I said, okay. If you want to use me, okay. I'll be used for your glory. If you have chosen me, you have that much confidence in me to go through this, and I'm going to use it for your glory. Okay. It's just hard. So God, I open up myself to you. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. Sometimes we just have to say, God, not my will, but your will be done. Even though it seems unfair and it seems not right, God knows who will use it for his glory. He said, if I be lifted up, what? I will draw, not some, all men unto me. He said, through your pain, Rebe, I'm going to be lifted up. And I need you to bring some people to me. Through your pain, I'm going to be lifted up. So I allowed it. Because I know you will use it for my glory. I got confidence in you. Does God have confidence in you to go through it, Debbie? Does he have confidence in you? Are you willing to open up yourself to God? Even when it just don't seem right and it just doesn't seem fair. Ladies, we think we have to produce enough. We think we have to perform enough. We think we have to care enough. We have to love enough. We have to stay pure-hearted enough in all of this. Then we become exhausted. Maybe we got it all wrong. Maybe the way that we're going about life is all wrong. Maybe we're not supposed to feel this way. In Matthew 14:13, it talks about when Jesus feeds the 5,000. Do you know he knows what we need in that moment? God knows what we need in that moment. What we need to do is thank God for what he has done and what he is doing. God gives us what we need in the moment. Ladies, are you tired? Why are you tired? Stop and think about it. Have you been carrying the burden of your children and their futures in your own power, in your own control? That it's supposed to be, that their lives are supposed to work out a certain way. Maybe you're tired because you're trying to make this life work out in your own strength. Why do you want it to work out? We must remember that God does not move because of us, but God moves in spite of us. Get out of the way, and this will become about him instead about you. When we get out of the way, this becomes about him. And then we allow God to go crazy through us. Trust him with your prayers and the way he answers them. Then you will use your testimony to draw others toward him. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Ladies, when you get secure and this becomes about him instead of you, allow God to go crazy through you. Let's build a name that will go on throughout all generations. That is his name, not our name. How silly do you think we look when we take our problems and our dreams as if we've had the power to accomplish them? Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Rest is totally relying on Jesus' power to accomplish the impossible. I have seen God move beyond my own understanding. Rest is saying that my identity is secure in Christ Jesus, that I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I am secure in who I am. God will be exalted to me. God wants you to know that it's never been about your competency, but about your love for him. God sets us free from the striving that wears us out. Trust in the ridiculous abundance of God. Ladies, allow your prayers to break your chains. God's love paid the price for mercy. Your verdict is not guilty. God pleads your cause. He gave his life to give me mine. His blood has made us free. Ladies, I hope that what I have said has helped you. I hope that you can take away something from this lesson. I hope that you are able, after this lesson, to continue the race that God has before you. One day this life is going to be over, and we can spend time with him in eternity. I'm looking for that day. I am. Heaven looks really good to me. I'm looking for that day where I can be with him, where there will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no rejection, no loneliness. There will be unconditional love. I'm looking for that day.